Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to PGM. This is Tuesday evening, August 10th. This is Deborah with you this evening, and praise God for joining us and for gathering in one place of a portal of praise, a portal of His presence. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for being all-knowing and all-powerful. Well, I hope everyone is having a good day today. And I know it's blazing hot out there in most parts of the country, so I hope you're staying cool as well, that the Lord is supplying for you His sufficiency and His grace and all of your needs according to His word, and that we will keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking to the Lord, that the doors may be opened unto us and that He speak to us, and we'll just be as students and stewards with our hands raised and asking our teacher and rabbi to teach us and His word. For joining us, those who are dialed in for ministry, praise God. Bless you in Jesus' name ahead of time. Let you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying tonight in the word of God and to the body of Christ in Jesus' name. I thank you for those who are streaming online with us, or those who may have been or listening at a later time. I welcome you, and I praise God for you, and I bless you in Jesus' name. And I thank you for joining us on PGM this evening, this Tuesday evening. And I would love to pray. If you're streaming, I'd love to pray for you at some time. You're welcome to dial in anytime on a Tuesday evening. The guest call-in is 319-527-6027. You press 1 on your keypad as you dial in, and that will put you in queue for prayer, ministry, and anything you'd like to testimony. If you'd like to share something, that would be awesome and powerful as well. Let's pray before we start tonight, and let's just jump into the word, and then we're going to jump into ministry, into the heart of God to be revealed, let the mystery be revealed from His heart. So, Father, we thank you for this evening. We lift you up. I dedicate this time unto you, Lord. I dedicate myself, Lord, as your vessel, Lord, in willingness, God, and obedience unto you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your anointing and for your goodness and your faithfulness. And just an overflow of your word, God, in revelation, Lord. Let it come forth as you desire it to, God. And I thank you, Lord, that I just surrender my vocal cords unto you, Lord. And let the Spirit of the Lord be known. Let the Spirit of the Lord be seen. Let the Spirit of the Lord be heard. And let your name be exalted and magnified in all the earth, God. I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to defy your name and to glorify your name. So be exalted in this place, God, tonight. Be exalted in our homes, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you for the peace of God and the shalom of God that you speak over each household, each person, and over PGN, God. Thank you, Lord, and over our futures, right? Because your word says, you know the thoughts that you have for us to give us a hope and future, not of evil. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your thoughts and your plans for our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Lord was leading me last week. I was, or actually Saturday, I believe it was, I was taking communion. I had sent a note to a friend of mine of prayer. You know, we pray in the city sometimes together, meet and do different things like a National Day of Prayer, different things. And, you know, she's a good friend. And we just text each other for prayer and whatnot. And so I was texting her a message, and she said, well, as I was reading your message, I felt like the Lord was telling me to tell you to take communion every day, which the Lord did tell me that before, a handful of months ago, because I actually ordered like 100 communion cups when we were living in the apartment, so it was sometime during there. I should have probably wrote that down to my best that I can recall right now. And so anyways, so I was like, oh, okay, the Lord has reminded me. And then there was something else I read just about, it was suited and fitted which complemented it, which put me back on track. So anyway, Saturday, I was taking communion, just sitting before the Lord and doing that quietly. And I have this Bible my husband gave me, and I call it a pastor Bible because it's written, it's like not chronological order, but the book is actually written chronologically, and the cross references and the insights and just the different things and the different periods of time. It's kind of more written that in the periods of time, like the Jesus time and, the prophet time, the exile and stuff like that. So all the books that were, it's kind of hard to explain, but anyways, I call it my pastor Bible because there's so much knowledge in it. And at any time I'm seeking something or the Lord brings something to my remembrance, I'll try to remember to go back to that Bible because I can really extract a lot of, and it keeps me certainly solid. And it's more than commentary. It's a, and there's a lot of insight in it. So it keeps me theologically correct. And then also I get a lot of revelation from it. So anyways, when I opened that to look at it, and I was just asking the Lord to speak to me. So as I'm taking communion, right, I turned to the Transfiguration. Okay, and in the little note that's talking about the Transfiguration, and then when I turned to it, because really, at the time of the Transfiguration, and again, let's just, we'll just walk this path together as the Lord, unfolded it to me as well. And so at that time, Jesus was with, so this account of the Transfiguration, excuse me, in the Gospels, it's in Matthew 17, Mark 9, and in Luke 9. Okay, it's in those three accounts. So I pulled all of them up to cross-reference them to see what was the same, what was different, what's coming out, not coming out, what's being highlighted to me, which I'm going to share when we get into that a little bit more. And then just some truths and how Jesus, he's always repeating himself, right? Well, the Old Testament is a foreshadow of what was happening in the New Testament, and then even what's to come in the millennial and the, so all that kind of cross-references that, that's what I mean, is it overlaps and it cross-references the heart of God, and really so that we might know Jesus. So we don't want to make it difficult, nor should we or ought we, ought there be anything difficult to get to Jesus, to know Jesus, and for him to be our sustenance and our sufficiency in our life or whosoever's life, right? There should be, Jesus should be freely known and easy to get. It shouldn't be difficult to reach Jesus, okay, because his heart is for humanity, and that is something that gets repeated in Scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So in this Transfiguration, I'm going to just go ahead and read this, but I'm going to read, let me go ahead and just read in Matthew 17, okay, so 17 through 9. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, so James and John were brothers. He led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, this is the New King James Version, and his clothes became as white as light. Okay, some say, other accounts, and Mark says his clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. So it's beyond anything. It's very descriptive there. I guess you kind of like that. And then and Luke, it just says his face, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. Okay, that kind of describes similar to Mark. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. So this is where something gets repeated, right? We see this on the mountain. Okay, when Moses was there, and on Mount Sinai, we see it here at the Transfiguration. And then we also seen it when Jesus was baptized, right? The cloud overshadowed them, and then the voice from heaven spoke. So that's what I mean by repeat, that type of thing. So this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Okay, this is important. This is important if the Father from heaven is saying, this is my son, hear him, okay? And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and they were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, do not be afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus alone. Some other Mark account says, but only Jesus was with them. And they saw no one anymore. But only Jesus, okay? Luke says, when the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, okay? So it was just Jesus with them and no one else. This is very significant, actually. Okay, so in Moses, we know Moses and Elijah were the two greatest prophets in the Old Testament. Moses represented the law, so he predicted the coming great prophet. And Elijah represented a prophet who foretold the coming of the Messiah. So this is their role as a prophet and what they did, besides other miraculous things that we read, signs and wonders. So their presence, Elijah and Moses, with Jesus confirms Jesus's messianic mission. So this was both to conclude for the Jewish community and the Romans, which is us, the Gentiles, to fulfill God's law. Okay, so Jesus' messianic mission to the fulfillment of God's law and the words of God's prophets. Those both things. So those two, Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophet, and the coming ones, the words, so speaking of the great prophet and the one to come, speaking of the words of God's prophets, those were fulfilled. So they're saying, well, here he is, it's fulfilled. And so when the voice from heaven came and declared it, so just as God's voice in a cloud over Mount Sinai gave authority to his law, God's voice at the Transfiguration gave authority to Jesus' words. Okay, this is why it's so important, I think. We're in this time and in this era, if you will, that Jesus' words are really important, but it's not a puffing up, okay? We're going to get to that because we're going to get to where Paul mentioned something later on in the New Testament, okay? So he said in verse 9, I actually didn't read that, I don't think, 17:9 says, now when they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. Okay, so his disciples were asking why, and they were questioning that. But Jesus knew that they didn't have the full understanding of his resurrection. And so he didn't want them talking about it and disrupt it. Okay, he told them not to talk about it, but I believe mainly because they didn't have the full understanding. So sometimes the Lord will bring a word to us in that way as well, where we don't have the full understanding, or we might need to wait to speak on it. And at the same time, when we're speaking on something, we might not have the full understanding, just like the disciples, Peter, James, and John, received it. They received the full vision, and they had full knowledge of it. They just didn't have the full understanding of it yet. So it was like prophetically being foretold of this incredible thing. So what I noticed regarding Jesus, okay? The transfiguration, he's relating it to his resurrection, which is very important for us, okay? Which we're going to get to in a minute. So two of these accounts, okay, again, the accounts are written in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Two of them talk about Jesus' face, except for Mark. Mark only gives reference to his clothes became shiny and exceedingly white, okay, where the other two talked about his face. Well, we know, I thought, well, and on his body, right? So his body and his clothes, like clothing represents a type of cloak or a type of a mantle, you know, an anointing. So his clothes, but Jesus's clothes, he was anointed on his, he was anointed and these clothes are on his body, right? And he's came for the body of Christ. And then even talking about his body was broken for us, right? And healed. And everything he took upon his body for the glory of God to take place in his life. And they were seeing the glory of the Lord in this transfiguration, even in his own body. Yet they did not recognize it, that he was going to have to actually walk through this crucifixion and this road to being crucified and all that it would entail. And but the glory of the Lord was there and awaiting for him, even through the chaos and what other people hurled at him and what circumstances might look at. The glory of the Lord was awaiting him, and the promise still stood strong. Okay, well, in Mark, actually, if you look at the book of Mark, it's a little bit different in the other Gospels than that. There's certain things in the book of Mark that indicate strikingly differences that he was probably writing to non-Jewish believers, okay? And so even to mention his face in Matthew and Luke, they were actually talking to the Jewish people because in the Jewish community. But why it was so important that they even seen his face is because that was something that they did not do. You know, even going up to the mountain when Moses went up there, they said, no, you don't want to see this God. There was something about not looking at him, not looking at his face, that you can't do that. You can't look into his eyes, right? But yet Jesus revealed that to them. So there's a clue here for the Jewish community to find it. And that's somewhat how they taught too as well, is that they were like, not riddles, they intrusive truths hidden inside a truth, you know, like sometimes it'd be a prophecy inside of a prophecy, you know. And so that was one of them. And that was a clue. It was written that way even under revelation and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a clue for the Jewish community. Well, Mark, Mark, the book of Mark just really focuses on events and the wonder worker of who God is, right? It talks about things happen immediately. 42 times the word immediately is used in Mark. And Mark doesn't ever refer to the Old Testament law in the book of Mark, in any of his things, and he doesn't refer to none of the speeches or none of the editorial comments as well. Okay, so it's strictly, you know, talking about actions and events, which is strikingly different from other gospels. But it really helps people. Okay, if you ever tell people to read the book of Mark like they do the book of John, because it gets people to know who Jesus is. And so so the book of Mark likely was not written to Jewish believers, is why he didn't even mention, he did not mention the law. Also in verse 4 in Mark 9 changes the order of the names. He doesn't say Moses and Elijah appeared. He mentions, and Elijah appeared to them with Moses. This is the way that it's stated in here. And I think because the law wouldn't have been as important to him, but Elijah talking about the coming Messiah, the prophetic word, the actions that were being taken place, he would have drawn attention to that, which leads to the new covenant. So that's interesting, too, that he would mention Elijah first, because Jesus himself is leading to the new covenant, and this transformation is going to complete this new covenant as well. And then Luke, really, when we read the book of Luke, and he probably didn't know Jesus, meet Jesus himself. He didn't know him personally, I guess that's what you could say, is that, but he was a believer, certainly. And a lot of his writings he wrote very well and very descriptive and very well known even today, some of his parables that Jesus taught. But he more collected eyewitness accounts and then wrote on them. So if you ever cross-reference the three of those as well, you would kind of read Luke's and say, oh, yeah, I can kind of see how you're cross-referencing information and writing it out, but an excellent writer nonetheless. One thing that Luke does mention in here that I thought was interesting is he mentions two times, he says, the two men with him, okay? And then they saw the glory of the Lord and the two men who stood with him. So he did say at first the two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah. So he did say that. But then he also said later on, but Peter and those with him heavily with sleep, and they were fully awake. They saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. So I thought it's interesting that he used the verbiage two men, which reminded me in the book of Revelation, when the two prophets were coming, they said that these two men. Okay, so they can't be the two churches because they're two men. Okay, I just see the similarities in that to me as I read that. Okay, and then, so the transfiguration had everything Jesus taught. It had everything to do with the resurrection. This is where we're going with this. So at the resurrection of Christ, which is interesting because I went like right in my pastor's Bible, if you will, the very next thing that I looked at was, and it's not just like turning the page either, was Jesus's appearance after his resurrection. There were 11, in the little caption box, there's 11 times, 11 incidences that Jesus appeared after his resurrection. And there's one account in that says when Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples, which I thought was interesting. So 11 was repeated there. And in Matthew 28:16, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. I've actually been to Galilee. It's a very pleasant city. It's good vibes there. The Sea of Galilee is very delightful. That was actually my favorite memory and place and presence of the Lord. Very nice. Okay, back to what I was saying. Went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Okay. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority, right? Didn't we just read that? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Okay. And we've seen that on the transfiguration. Go, now he's talking to his 11 disciples who now he is bringing up to the mountain. Okay, when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So isn't that interesting, his own disciples? And so again, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay, here's the actions as well, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And Mark, now I'm going to read the same account, because this is what the Lord has spoken to us as well. He was given this to us as his disciples. And this is the account that's being transfigured, I believe, into the church. And we're going to see this more and more, the churches who are going. And I mean, just even in their seat, they can just go outside the church door and go into your neighborhood if that's the case, okay? And to make disciples, okay? Baptizing them in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching. But here's the thing, too. The churches that are here now, they're going to rise up in power, are the ones that are teaching to observe all things that I've commanded you, which is teaching, observe, some say, teaching them to obey, you know, and actually do. And I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Okay, so Mark 16, okay, a very action-packed, spoken to probably the Romans or the Gentile church, right? Not the Jewish people, but more to us. So let's read that. Mark 16, 14 through 20. Because here's the latter part, too. This is very confirming for us and very confirming where the church is going to be leading and the church is going to be going. And I want this for me. I pray this for me. I pray this for you and for the church. Fourth, it says, later, he appeared to the 11. So this is the 11 disciples. As he sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, we're going to see those who are preaching the gospel. I'm going to tell you this anointing is going to fall. The power and the anointing of God is going to be falling on the church that does these things. I believe this. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. Wow. Okay. I just seen something there. It will by, and I just want to say that even humbly. Okay. Come back to that. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven. So this is the ascension. And he sat down at the right hand of God. So he's speaking this to his 11 disciples, giving them the same power that he had, the same authority that he received in the transfiguration, that the Father spoke over him. His body was transformed because of the resurrection power. And now within that, he is speaking over his disciples on the mountain. And he is releasing the same and issuing the same declaration, the same proclamation over them, the same thing over us. And I believe his power is going to come forth. And I'm not even sure why this number 11 was doubled two times, and it just had me thinking and inquiring further about other prophetic things that have come forth even here on PGN. And I don't even know. I feel like this is definitely a word of the Lord who put this together, because by his grace, it came together. I didn't have to search. It wasn't complicated. I didn't have to try to fit anything. It literally was by his grace that he puts this together. When he does that, I know there's a foresight on it. And it is something that he wants to come forth, and that his presence and his spirit is on his word. Okay. So then after that, he had spoke that he received it and it sat at the right hand of the Father. Verse 20, Mark 16, 20. And they went out and preached everywhere. And the Lord, okay, everywhere. This is what the church needs to go. You go and preach, okay, the gospel. Preach everywhere. The Lord working with confirming the word through the accompanying signs. This is what I believe we're going to be seeing here and now, is these accompanying signs according to the word. And it's the word of the Lord that really, the engrafted word and the things that he brings to you by way of the Holy Spirit that you release and bring forth. And he's going to accompany these signs. And we need to even ask him. We wanted to participate and the authority that he's given us and bestowed upon us, and the power that he's given us. And may the Lord be working with us, right? And it's going to be according to his word and his power, and he will confirm it with accompanying signs. Okay. Paul, here in the New Testament, Paul, 1 Corinthians 4:20, he was talking about, actually, I'm going to pull that up, 1 Corinthians Okay, he was talking to them about being stewards of the mystery of God, and you know, being in obedience to his. Then it talks about Paul's parental care, right? So he's not saying he wants them to grow up and to be fathers, for there to be fathers, you know, and over Timothy, and not some. He said now some are puffed up as though we're okay, but he's saying. He's not puffed up, okay? It's not being puffed up, but the power. And so I think we're going to see the difference. The Lord's going to reveal the things that are just being puffed up as opposed to his power. Because, why? Because the Lord's going to be working with those that truly are doing the will of the Lord according to his word. And he will do confirming and accompanying signs according to his word. Okay, and the love of God and the spirit. So he talks about a love of God and a spirit of gentleness. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 4. Let me make sure I got this right. 1 Corinthians 4:20. He says this. Okay, I know you've probably heard this verse, right? What is the kingdom of God? You can say it to yourself. What is the kingdom of God? You're probably thinking of the Romans verse that says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That is correct. Do you know, and you're right, those things is correct. Do you know there is another verse that talks about what the kingdom of God is? For the kingdom of God is, and it is found in 1 Corinthians 4:20. You may have already found that on your phone. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And it's when it's saying word there, it's not talking about the word of God. It's just talking about, it's not just a word, a puffed up word from man, a puffed up sermon, a puffed up preaching, any type of thing, nothing, just a word to be puffed up or accumulated. It's not going to be accumulated, but it's going to be accompanied by signs. By the Lord. Okay, so the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, but the kingdom of God, power. So I must pray the Holy Spirit releases that. The Holy Spirit release your power to your people, God. I thank you for your word, God, that is steadfast and faithful, that you speak over us as disciples, God, that you would speak over us and call us to a higher place. Call us to the mountain, Lord, that you would speak over us and release, God, even if there's got to be a presenting, a time of consecrating and a time of presenting, you bring us to your mountain and prepare us, God, to come down to that mountain full of faith and full of power, shining, God, for you, in Jesus' name, with all authority and all power, God, and not to puff ourselves up, God, but to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, God, with all authority, God, the authority of the places that you rule everywhere, that you desire us to touch and to heal, to deliver, God, to lay hands on the sick, to recover, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name to speak in new tongues, those being filled with the Holy Spirit, impartation, Lord, in Jesus' name, those believing, God, that we would rebuke doubt and unbelief in who you are, God, that they would be restored in Jesus' name, that doubt and unbelief would be restored to the body of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that as we preach everywhere, God, you would bless, Lord, even right now, thinking about where we go, where invitations are, where opportunities are, God, where we know other ministries are going, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you're laying on our hearts and minds right now, God, we bless their efforts, God. Your word says that some plants and some water, but it's you who brings the increase. God, we ask for the anointing of the increase to come upon these efforts, God. We thank you for their prayers to be effective. Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray for the blood of Jesus to lead them, that you would be high and lifted up, God, and glorified. We pray for people to be yielding, to hear, and to see and to know who Jesus is, Lord, by events and actions and people stepping into their lives and being humble and yielding and being active and sharing their faith so that they might know every good thing they have in you, Lord, including myself, God, including myself, Father God. When they go out, Lord, and preach and you're working with them, may you go with them, God, confirming your word through accompanying signs, God. We thank you for that, God, and we thank you for your kingdom is in power, God. Your kingdom has power. Let the church be transformed with your power, God, in Jesus' name, and let her go forth mightily, God, victoriously in Jesus' name, Lord, that we're partakers of your victory, Lord. We're partakers of your victory. I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for your goodness and your kindness, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. More of you, Father. More of you, Lord. More Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you are all-knowing, all-powerful, and ever present in our lives. We, Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for your abiding love and faithfulness and truth, spirit of truth that abides.
Joy is coming, more joy, more joy, more joy, more joy, more joy, more joy, joy comes.
Wow, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Thank you. Okay, I kind of got lost in that word and that pulled me in. And so be it unto us. So be it unto the body of Christ, right? Let's open up the phone lines. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. And God bless you. 205-531. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Good evening. Maybe I'm on mute. 205-531. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Okay, let me come back. She might have had to walk away for a second. Okay. Thank you, Lord. We'll come back to you, 205. Okay. Oh, here we go. 717-217. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Good evening. My name is Anita. I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for joining us. Have we spoke before? Are we up? Has it just been a while? Or?
Well, I'm not so sure we have spoken before.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this evening. God bless you. Yeah, Lord, I just thank you for Anita, Lord. I just bring her to your throne, God, in your altar,
you.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I'm just going to mute you for 1 second while I pray for you, and then I'll come back to you and open your phone line back up, Anita. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Anita, God. We bring her to your altar, God, in your throne of grace, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for working in her life, Lord. We thank you for the imprints that you're bringing in her life, God, and like stepping stones. And these imprints, Lord, like that rippling effect that happens, but there's places of a rippling effect that's happening. But the stepping stones are clear, like your next step, where to step. And it might be like just the ball of your foot, not necessarily tiptoe, but like the ball of your foot. So the step is secure, the place of movement is sound, you know, on the rock. It's on the rock and you're moving forward. There is a rippling effect, but I see it actually happening from the Lord. You're not stepping on the water and causing the rippling effect. I think it's an effect of when you take that step, it's of obedience unto the Lord. And then he's causing the rippling effect, what is happening and what's taking place in other people's lives as you walk in obedience. You know, as you walk and take those steps of obedience before the Lord, there's a rippling effect that's happening, and it is because of your obedience. And the Lord is taking care of that part. The Lord, you know, the Lord is by your participating in faith and obedience, okay, unto him and his voice. But he's actually the effects of your obedience in other people's lives, which I've never seen this or heard the Lord say this. I mean, I've never heard anyone say this. The effects of your obedience in other people's lives, the Lord, the Holy Spirit is taking care of that in their lives as they see you and watch, you know, you moving forward. And so in effect, you would think, I mean, I would in the natural think that it was your step that's causing the rippling effect, but it's actually the work of the Holy Spirit causing your obedience, the effects of it, happening in other people's lives, which is super cool. Again, I've never heard anyone say that or explain it like that or ever heard that. And but that's so powerful and that's so true. So and I'm not sure, you know, I don't have knowledge of where the tie-in is with that, but praise God for it. And so I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for the power of obedience in her life, Lord, to your voice, to your commandment, God, and to follow you, God, just willingness to follow you, Father God, and faith, Lord, I thank you for it, in Jesus' name, yeah, in Jesus' name, so that dependence, but it's solid. I mean, you're stepping on the rock. It's on the rock. Solid. So thank you. I'm just see if any of the Lord bring anything else in what I'm saying, anything that I've captured that I did not speak on, any other type of detail, Lord, of what that might be. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, but okay, so you are going places. I just heard the Lord say that. And in that, you are going places. It might not feel like it. I mean, again, it's not on like your tiptoe, but on the ball of your foot. So the whole foot's not down. And but you are going places, and that step is secure, and it's on the rock. And so praise God for that. That's very cool, very powerful. How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine, and I praise God for what you are saying, what he is saying to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I really thank God for that. It's an assurance that he's with me, that I know that he's with me.
Yeah.
In being obedient, yes, to his will. For my life and for those he wants me to reach out to. I thank God for what he's saying.
Yeah.
It's uplifting. It's uplifting.
Praise God. Yeah, praise God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Just a lot to take in.
Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, no, praise God. Amen. Is there anything, do you have any, like, specific prayer requests we can pray with you?
Well, just for my family. This weekend I have a prayer time with my family. And so I'm praying that God will reach each person that comes on the line for us to pray together as a family.
Oh, nice.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's it. Let's pray that our time in prayer with my family will be fruitful, that the Lord will honor the time we spend with him in prayer as my family come together. When I'm talking about my family, I'm talking about a whole generation of my mother's side of the family.
Wow, that's cool. You guys do that like on a conference call?
Yeah, we do that as conference call. We do that once every month. We do that once every month, coming together to pray for our family. For the entire generation of family on my mother's side.
Wow.
Yeah. I am to lead it, so sometimes it becomes overwhelming.
I think this is even part of of what I was seeing is you, taking that step and obedience, mm-hmm. that the effects, okay, so Father, we thank you, Lord, for Anita. God, we thank you for her family and every participant, God, on this phone line, Lord, that you would bless their ears, God, prepare their hearts now, prepare their ears now, God, spiritually to receive, God, because let things get planted, let things get watered during this time, Father God, and let it truly be of you, God. It would be like no nonsense type of prayer call spiritually, Father God, and in Jesus' name, God, and we thank you even for the watering and bringing the increase, Lord, and I thank you, God, for even the effects of this, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is taking care of the effects of her obedience to step forward, God, in Jesus' name. We pray for the generation, God. I thank you so much, God, that I've never heard of any family doing this and praying for the generation. It is incredible. I love this. I love that. I love that so much. God, I thank you, Lord, just for each heart and each one that's obedient to come forth and each one who's obedient to actually step forth in faith and step forth in obedience, God, let that even be transcending. Let that same vision be transcending to that generational family line, God. Yeah. We thank you for the preservation, the spiritual preservation over this family line, Father God, and bringing them unto you, God. Let the transformation come forth, God. Let your word go forth, Lord, with strength and power, Lord. I thank you for Anita, God, that you would bless her, Lord, with a heart to seek you in what to pray or how to lead or whatever the structure is that she has need of, God, that she would follow your voice, follow your leading, follow your breath, God, and that you would anoint that, Lord, as they walk that out, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name for great refreshing and encouragement and for that generation bloodline, Father, that they would take care of what needs to be taken care of. And they would plant what needs to be planted, God. And we call forth a harvest in goodness and, again, the spiritual preservation and knowledge of the Lord, God. Great spiritual wisdom and understanding as talked about and prayed about. And let me just go back. I'm going to pull this up for you. And Colossians 1, I think it's 1:9, but sometimes I can't. Let's see.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful, as you asked, fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Oh, which we talked about tonight, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of light. So he's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. So I thank you, Father. I just pray that over them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Ooh. All right. Ooh, wonderful prayer, wonderful prayer. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank
you.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. Ooh. Thank you so much. God bless you. I'd love to hear
report?
An update or, you know, what?
Okay.
A report, yes.
Yes. I took note of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So praise God, Ethan. Ethan, if you wanted to, you could text the ministry phone line, the ministry text number, and just say, this is a report for Deborah. Please pass it on, and then it will get sent to me.
Okay. Okay,
or you can call it. Either way, whatever's convenient for you. And when you think of it, no rush or no, don't think like, oh, you know, but just, as the Holy Spirit leads. And so praise God for that. So thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for joining
thank
us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for praying.
God bless you. Oh,
you too.
Found it a privilege. Thank you. Bye. There's a lot of background noise there. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. Hold on, I need to come back to you, 605. I forgot I have to go back up to our first caller. Walked away from the phone for a second. So 205-531, good evening. Who do I have here this evening?
Julia May from Alabama.
Hey, Julia May. How are you doing?
Yes, fine.
Good. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for waiting. God bless you. Yes. Good to hear your voice. Okay, let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for Julia May, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in her life. And I see what I'm seeing is these new things of growth coming forward, and they're actually like flowers. So there's a fragrance to it, so which tells me there's a new growth of, like the fragrance of Christ, the verse that talks about we become the fragrance of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so this thing coming up out of you, and it's actually at the very, it's very centered within you. So it's very centered. A new growth and and I'm seeing part of it, it looks like, I think that's a daisy. I think it's a daisy. I think that's what that flower is. And it is associated with his love. But I think this new growth comes springing forth. It's fragrance. It's a flower. Definitely with his love. You know, there's so many different facets when the Holy Spirit when we spend time with him and when we learn from him, even when there's pressures and there's, for a while, my husband and I worked at a children's home in Florida for a few years. And actually, when we did that, I ended up learning more about myself than I did, like, about ministry. And, I mean, I definitely learned a lot of all these other aspects and, you know, being in this home with six other high school girls, you know. But I definitely learned, you know, the pressure of ministry and the demands, I guess, even in just daily life and what was needed and everyone with their different dynamics and situations that they brought to the table. I learned more about myself. But in and through that, walking away, there was so much growth that even happened that that sometimes we're having growth when we don't know, in situations where we think this is too much, this isn't maybe what I would choose, or this seems chaotic, like this is not even how I function, like I need to find order to this or whatever, you know, and maybe that's who, you know, God, sometimes he puts us in situations where like, or where like that, maybe that situation needs great peace. There needs to be peace brought to it. There needs to be order brought to it. There needs to be, I don't know, another element. There needs to be like a breakthrough of what to do, like what's the next thing to do to get out of here, to keep moving forward. And some people are very gifted in those areas very naturally, and the Lord will put them in situations that don't feel comfortable to them, and they see so clearly what needs to be done, like what needs to be taken hold of next or how to put things together. And it's because he wants to use you in that way, except there's all these different things that just seems like all things are falling apart, but you're actually there to utilize everything about you and your gift, you know? So, but I'm saying initially, as I did, it was very centered in you, new growth, and then it budded a flower, which I believe was a daisy. And the scripture that talks about the fragrance of Christ, do you know which verse I'm talking about? Because I'll look that up.
No.
Okay. Where's my computer? I don't know. Okay. 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 Yeah, this is, okay. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. So that's 2 Corinthians 2:14, a complementary verse to it as well in 2 Corinthians 2:15, which is the next verse. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So, that pretty much describes the picture of what I see, and that verse explains it. I just did it on a parable form, if you will. But seeing this new growth of Christ, got but a fragrance of Christ before others. And really, it does have to do with his love. And I don't know if it's that's what others will see. You know, I think that's more true, like even as I just said it, that rang true in my spirit, that others will really see the love of Christ in that, you know, and know that he loves them, that God is love. God is love. So praise the Lord for that. So thank you. Yeah, because it's actually springing forth. Okay, I'm just kidding more. It's actually from your center, but it's springing forth from your heart and then through up and through your head, which is like your mind. So you have things settled in Christ in both your heart and your mind, and it's bringing new growth that's coming forth as a fragrance, as a fragrance of Christ. And they're seeing God's love. So praise the Lord. That's...
Amen.
It's a peculiar picture, but a good word. Yeah. So how are you doing?
No, I'm just fine. Jumper doing fine. Yeah, fluid is coming off.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
My nephew, his wife is in the hospital, and she has double pneumonia. She's a diabetic, and her oxygen level is going down. kidney is trying to fail. So I want to pray for her.
What's her name?
Ooh. I hate to say I don't know her name.
You don't want to say her name? Okay. Did you say your nephew or your niece?
Nephew Ike. Mm-hmm. His name is Ike.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Okay, wow. Oh, I'm so sorry. How old is he?
He's 47. I don't know I think she might be a year too older than him. Mm-hmm.
Oh, are they both sick or no?
No, just him. Just her. Having diabetes, but then she had a cold, and then by then she got a hospital. She had double pneumonia, and they induced her in a coma, and they were trying to help her lung because it's so bad. And my sister-in-law, his mother, called today and told me that, you know, she looked like she got a kidney infection and an oxygen. I said, that's probably due to the pneumonia, not being able to, you know, have breathe. So like Jennifer, but her oxygen, when she had double pneumonia, her oxygen level was low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, was this the virus, do you think, or no?
No, they tested us. It wasn't the virus. No, she just got double pneumonia. And because Jump had, like, you know, of course, Jump had pneumonia 3 times, but the second time she got, I was asking the doctor, he said, no, you just can get pneumonia sometimes. You know, you just, I guess, you know, just fluid can be like, well, for her, is the heart weakening, but she got fluid on the heart, so that, you know, that's part of it, too. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now did you share her name or you didn't want to share her name?
Unfortunately, I can't remember her name.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll pray for her. I was going to pray for her by name if we had it, but I will pray for your niece. Yes, no problem. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we actually had a friend who's getting out of the hospital, I think tomorrow. He had pneumonia, and he has to go. He's bringing, I don't know, some type of travel oxygen with him. But he did test positive a week ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, okay. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We thank you for this young lady, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray for her lungs. We pray for Julia May's niece. God, we pray for her lungs in the name of Jesus, Lord. We pray for this fluid to disperse in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we speak to her kidneys, God, that the counts would come back to normal. Lord, that they would function the way that you created them to, God. All inflammation and fluids to cease, God. In Jesus' name, we speak the breath of God to touch her physical body. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that she would have an encounter with Jesus, yeah. Lord, even in the hospital, Lord, let your light shine and shun around her, Father God. Let her know that it is divine power and your divine will, God, and your divine love to surround her and to heal her and to deliver her, Father God, into the arms of Jesus on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Deliver her, like, spiritually, God. Deliver her into your presence, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for your power and your majesty, Lord, standing before her, Father, in Jesus' name. Let it be so, God, in each lung. Let power and majesty, let power on one lung, majesty on the other lung, Father God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for bringing forth your healing, Lord, in wholeness and restoration and restoring her physical body, God. We thank you, Father, that you would protect her, God, from any other ailment or virus in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just cast out fear from her, Lord. And we pray health, Lord, and great dignity and wisdom to be with those that are caring for her in the hospital, God. And we thank you, Lord, for the protection of all of us, God, who are praying now for her in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would cover us as well, Lord, and those that we're thinking of that are recovering. God, that the enemy might be berating their minds, Lord, with fear or doubt or unbelief or whatever else, Father God, may that cease, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that you heard Samuel's cry of distress, God, of fear, Lord, and others in the book of Psalms, Lord, that you hear God, when they call out to you, Psalm 46, God, Psalm 42, Psalm 40, God, you hear the cry of those that are troubled and distressed before you, Father, and you respond to them, Father. So I thank you for doing that this evening, Lord. We ask for an impartation in dreams for those who are being troubled in their minds. I know this might be beyond her, but it might be reaching her as well. An impartation, God, in dreams of those who are being troubled, Father, the shalom peace of God, let an impartation of your very virtue and healing and goodness and gentleness, God, let their minds be yoked with you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, thank you. Yeah, thank you for sharing that with us so everyone can pray for her. So praise God.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, thank you. Well, bless you. Good to hear your voice, and thank you for joining us.
Okay, you have a blessed night.
Thank you, Julia May, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, caller 605, thank you. 309, 605, 309. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Carla, Arkansas.
Hi, Carla. How are you?
I'm okay. How about you?
Good. Have we spoke before?
I think I may have spoke to you before, but if I have, it's been a long time.
It's been a while. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we used to live in Tulsa, and we've traveled and visited to Arkansas. We went to Eureka Springs. Is that Arkansas?
Yes. Yeah, that's about, 3 hours or so away from me.
Okay. Yeah, I had a good time. I remember it was both my parents and my in-laws. We all stayed in a cabin with our kids when they were younger, so many years ago. So praise God. Okay, I'm going to put you on mute for a second while I pray for you. So anyway, that was a yeah. Okay, hold on. Oh, okay. Oh, there we go. Okay, my computer. Yikes. But it's all good now. Okay, so thank you, Lord, for Carla, Father. I just pray for her, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, to bring her to your altar of your grace, God. Thank you for your throne of grace and your altar of grace. An altar of grace. An altar of grace. Thank you. Thank you for that, God. In Jesus' name, an altar of grace. There's something in that because I usually say throne of grace. Altar of grace. So thank you, Lord, for just releasing the word of the Lord and coming forth. An altar of grace. So I'm seeing, what I'm seeing is like a field of flowers. It's like the perfect day, like exactly the right temperature, 70-something, and sunny, an altar of grace. So I thank you, Father God. An altar of grace. There is a I'm sorry, just bear with me for a second because I know it's a lot. It's a okay, so what's happening in the spiritual to me speaking it in the natural is I know there's a delay there, so thank you. That so there's places in your heart that you've learned to establish as an altar of grace. Some people will say that, okay, do I even want to say the opposite of what I'm trying to say? Okay, so the altar of grace in your heart actually is, it's actually very precious place that you've actually learned to walk in the grace of God in your life. and you've established this. You've learned to establish this, where the Word of God talks about our hearts being established, and you've actually done that. And I don't know, like, I would like to know the steps that you've taken or what you did or your process of even thinking this. And this would be good for all of us to hear once I open your phone line back up, if this rings, if this resonates with you in what place, but that you've actually established your heart in grace in those places. And it is very, it's delightful. Like, you can go there and it's like that meadow, or it's like that field of flowers in the spring or the early summer, you know, the perfect season. The perfect season. I don't even know if it's the season that you're getting ready to step into because of this grace, the establishment of this grace. Okay, so let me just look this up for a second. Lord. Oh, this is so hard to establish. Okay, so, okay, when I do established hurts, like past tense, it says in Psalms 112, the heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. I don't know what that means, but okay. Hebrews 13:9, do not be carried about with various strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, which I had no idea that was in there, not with foods which not have profited those have accompanied with them. Okay, so Hebrews 13:9, established by grace. I had no idea. For it is good that the heart is established by grace. And I feel like you've done that in areas. Now, I don't know if even if the doctrine thing rings true for you, because I had no idea there was a word in the Word of God being a heart being established by grace, but as an altar of grace. So it's this place, an altar. Let me just look up that word altar and see. I don't know what like altar is. Like an altar. Okay, no. An altar is a place of where you honor the Lord, and he has first place. There you go. It's a place where you honor the Lord, and he has first place in that place. Now, an altar could be, it has many various different beliefs, if you would, behind it. Like, it could be a belief about your money, a belief about food, a belief about church, a belief about, you know, whatever it might be. And sometimes when it becomes idolatry, this is the opposite of it. So I'm just saying what it's not is, is that then we take it upon our own souls and our own mind and our own reasoning apart from the Word of God and build that as a truth. And that is like an altar of idolatry in our life, like maybe regarding money, or sometimes actually, I will say this, I've seen, let me do a stronger truth to something I see related to the body of Christ and the younger generations, decades younger, is that a lot of them I'm seeing that they do not want to wait to have sex before marriage, and that they're very active in fornicating or drinking. And it's, so it's not just drinking like, hey, I'm going to have a drink with my meal, literally like getting drunk. Okay, so it's, when I say drinking, I don't mean just a drink. I mean like getting drunk. So those are two altars that they have, people have in the world. That are opposite of it. So I don't see any of that with you. I'm just giving an example because we have many ears that are listening to your one word. So just as an explanation, I see within you what I've seen what I saw when I was praying for you in the vision is that you've learned to establish your heart by grace. These altars of grace is what I was saying, right? These altars of grace, and I think these altars of grace are even going to be bringing you into new seasons, you know, because the word says what is done in the secret, he will reward openly. And yes, it's talking about prayer. But yes, it's talking about the Lord always says spiritually, it's always an inward working first, and then we see the outward working. So then we see the growth of it and the appearance of it and the sustaining of it and the substance of it, right? Even our faith, even with our faith, it's the substance of things hoped for. So these altars of grace is like you learn to turn that thing unto the Lord and give him honor in first place in these areas. Building an altar of grace. And so I had no idea that was even in the word of God. I knew there's something, I think there's more verses even talking about our hearts being established. But I did not know in Hebrews 13 about our hearts being established by grace. So praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord, for Carla. Let me open up your phone line here. Okay,
can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I'm sorry. My computer was spinning for a second, so I can hear you now.
That's okay. I wasn't sure because I'm in the car. As far as the steps, I mean, that does resonate. As far as the steps I took, it's been a long journey for me. I've called into this many, many times when I've been struggling, and I still struggle. But I think what it's talking, I think what that word is talking about, I can give you a really quick background, just really quick. I had some really serious health problems. It's been close to 7 years ago now, and I almost died, and no matter what kind of doctor I went to, I had four or five doctors in every discipline that there was, and could not really find anything but a thyroid problem, and you know, I lost 135 pounds. My organs were shut down. It was just crazy. They don't really know what happened to me. I really don't. But I do know that I have been away from God for almost 20 years because, you know, I was raised in a home where everything you did, you was going to hell. So when I was 20-some years old, I just threw up my hands and said, can't be perfect. I'm done trying. I mean, I'm going to go to hell anyway. And, you know, I lived the next 20 years believing that, you know, and throughout those 20 years, there would be little things where I'd feel like, well, maybe I need to read my Bible, or, you know, maybe I need to go back to church, and I'd be like, I ain't even going to start that again, you know, because that was kind of the way I was raised, and I'm just like, you know, and when I was sick, I was in the bed, and I hadn't even bothered to pray for myself, because I didn't even pray for my kids, I didn't pray for myself, I figured, what good does it do to pray, it ain't never got me anywhere, and, I was laying in the bed, almost dead, and I hear I heal people. And I got up, and I grabbed my Bible, and I'm like, God, I don't even know where to start. I haven't opened this Bible in 20 years, and, you know, wherever this opens, you know, I'm with Chief directly speaking to us anyway, but, I mean, I was like, I don't even know where to start. Well, I opened it up, and it went to Jeremiah 30, restoration is promised. I'll heal you of your wounds and restore your health. And so I have stood on that verse for like 7 years, and there's been bumps in the road. There's been up and down. There's been worsening symptoms. There's been marital problems. There's been family problems. There's been everything under the sun in my life in the last 7 years. It's been pure hell, to put it lightly. And I don't understand it, but I know God has a plan. And I started noticing that when, you know, because I'm a nurse, so the fact that the doctors couldn't find anything made it even all the worse, you know?
Yeah, peculiar.
And, and so, you know, my brain is going on, and I'm like, well, this happened, and I had this root canal that, you know, when all this stuff happened, they found out I had an abscess. Could that have been it? You know, just going through anything that I could possibly think of that could have caused this, and none of it really made sense. And so then, of course, they start telling me I was nuts. So I need to go see a psychiatrist. I'm like, I've lost all my hair. My skin is yellow. My eyes are yellow. So the liver's involved. The kidneys are involved because I can't urinate. And you're telling me I'm nuts.
Wow.
So I threw up my hands and I said, God, I would really love to live. And I know what you told me laying in that bed. And so I'm just going to believe you. That's all I got left.
Wow.
And, you know, there's been times throughout all that where it's been up and down. And I would try because, you know, I'd go to this natural doctor and spent thousands and thousands of dollars on natural,
yeah.
$350,000 on natural doctors.
Wow.
And,
oh, my goodness.
I never got better except for when I trusted God. And I started noticing a pattern.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd start noticing a pattern when Carla would get in the way, I would get worse. And then when I'd say, okay, God, I don't know what else to do, I'm just going to trust you. And I would get better, and I'd get better, and I'd get better. And then, of course, being who I am, I wanted to help fix myself. And then I started noticing every time I started to fix myself, it got worse. And, you know, I still got some things that are going on in my body, but I can work, and I can function, and I can travel where before I couldn't. I couldn't even hardly drag myself out of bed. I couldn't read. I mean, whatever it was affected my brain. I couldn't even read a sentence. It was pretty bad. And I know I still struggle with the few things that's still hanging on in my body. And just like the other day, I was sitting there, you know, I was packing because I sold my house. I'm like, God, I just really don't know what to do. I mean, I'm having a hard time getting in the Bible. I'm just having a hard time just praising and worshiping and just anything. I don't know what's going on, and I just feel like I just can't seem to do it anymore. And, you know, because I'm learning I have some gifts that I didn't know about. Like, I see things sometimes, and sometimes I feel things, and I don't really know how to operate in it. I'm learning, but, you know, let me backtrack a little bit. I know several months ago he told me, when I was a teenager, you know, there was this guy stalking me, and I called my daddy, and I pulled over. This was before cell phones, and I ran in the store, and I called my daddy, and I told him, well, the minute my daddy got there, I wasn't scared anymore. My daddy was there to save the day, and I heard, you need to trust me the way you trust your daddy, because I am your daddy. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I never thought of it that way, you know, because once my daddy was there, I don't have care of the world, because I knew my daddy took care of me. And so that kind of helped build something in me, and every time I would start getting scared, I'd be like, you know what, if my real daddy, you know, my natural daddy was here, he wouldn't let this happen to me. You know, he wouldn't want me to hurt, and he wouldn't want me to be sick. And so then that would change my thought process and my mind, and I went through that for months. And then I went through this thing, you know, just in the last, I don't know, a few weeks or so. And I'm like, God, you know, I'm packing. I don't know what to do. You know, my life's falling apart. My marriage is on the rocks, you know. And, you know, my daughter's married to a Jehovah's Witness, won't let me see my grandbabies. And I'm like, everything is just in the air here. And I just seen, I've never seen Jesus' face, but I've seen his body. And I just seen him sitting there, and there was a big old box sitting by his feet, and he was like, you know what, Carla, every time you have it, you just put it in this box, because it's not yours to deal with, it's mine. You know, just take all your cares and put them in this box. Every time they come, you just put them in their box, because it's not for you, it's for me.
Wow.
And so mentally I do that on a regular basis. I'm like, every time something starts really bothering me, I'm like, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just opening it in the box. I'm just packing it up and giving it to you, God, because, you know, it's yours. I can't figure it out. I don't know why this stuff happened to me. But that's the kind of things that keep me strong. And then, you know, it's been a little bit easier to get in my Bible again lately. But that right there has helped kind of, you know, the last few times I've called into here in other people who have spoken into my life is that God is teaching me to rely completely 100% on him and not anything else. And I can see that. I can see where he's trying to tell me, Carla, nothing you can do. I mean, you're going to have to, whatever he's got for me, I know that I have to learn to trust him and rely on him, because whatever ministry he has for me, I'm going to have to know how to do that, and I'm going to have to be able to share that with other people and how to do that.
Yeah, and I think you're doing
it. So
that's it
in a nutshell.
Yeah, even here tonight. No, literally, I have tears in my eyes. I could have just let myself just weep, really, but I was like, but you're not the last caller, so I couldn't do that. Just say goodnight, everyone. That is a beautiful, beautiful testimony. And I think Hebrews 13, that's incredible, just me seeing an altar of grace and then pulling up the word. Because I see the Lord do that sometimes with me. It's like what I see and I bring it forth, it's like a parable, but it's a parable of what's actually in the word, you know, a truth
right.
That's sustaining, that's in the word. And so Hebrews 13:9, it says, do not be carried away with various strange doctrines, which you opened and said that they believed this. Like if you're not doing this, then you're going to hell, right? For
right.
It's good that the heart be established by grace. And God brought you to a point where you said, Lord, I'm just going to believe. And there's scripture says, do the work. The work is to believe, you know. And the
right.
The number one question Jesus asked in the New Testament was, do you believe? I love that you just boiled, God just boiled it down to, do you believe, okay? And you did,
right.
You know, you just. Yeah, and so, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. So even just the establishment of, you know, these natural people, you know, they like to use foods and herbs and different things, but not being occupied with it, it's beyond that. God's bringing you beyond all of that and drawing out, really, he's drawing out and the gift and the calling does a father, a good father does, is he draws out those things, the purposes and the will of God in our lives. So when you're recognizing these gifts, that's your Heavenly Father drawing out, again, his will and his purpose for your life.
Well, and you know what's really cool is actually, I'm in Hebrews, and I think actually I was on 12 last night, so I'm going to be reading 13 tonight.
Oh,
so that's kind of cool.
Yeah,
because
so,
I've been in
cool.
Hebrews the last, let's see, today's Tuesday. I've been in Hebrews now since probably about Friday or Saturday. And I think
okay.
last night when I closed my Bible, I was in chapter 12. So,
oh,
so
my
that's
goodness.
Kinda cool.
That's amazing. Yeah, he's definitely the God who goes before you. So, Father, we just thank you for Carla, God. We thank you for this testimony, God, and just this praise of what you're doing, Lord. We thank you, Lord. There's so many things that can distract us, Lord, and that are distraught and despairing and even deceitful, God. Even within the distraught and despairing, they can be deceitful. God, we thank you, Lord, for the word of our testimony that unpacks that and brings such great clarity, Lord. We thank you, Lord, even what I've seen, the Lord reminded me, like coming into this new season. So what was done in secret, he will reward you openly. And come, you know, this meadow and walking in this field, you know, coming into a new season that's delightful and just very, this new season that is more delightful, God, for her. God, we come into agreement with that, Lord, and we come into agreement, God, with your will and your purposes for Carla's life, God. And we thank you how you're teaching her and how you're growing her, God. And we just thank you, Lord, for a place for her to openly give you praise and give you honor, God, and let it go forth. Let her voice be amplified, Lord. Let others who need to hear what she's saying, God, and let their hearts be established by believing as well. God, use it, Lord, and multiply it and increase it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
I sure do appreciate that word because, you know, I was having one of those days where I'm like, God, I really need something today.
oh, that's nice. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. Yeah, thank you. Your answer to prayer, too, because I do pray, you know, to the Lord that I Yeah, so that's the answer to prayer on my end, too. I'll just say that. The long and the short of it is, so praise God.
Okay, well, I won't keep you. I'll let you get to other callers. Thank you so much, and you have a good night.
You too. God bless you. Bye. Okay, our last caller we're going to take tonight, 910-709. Good evening.
Hi, Deborah. This is Sylvia from North Carolina.
Hey, Sylvia. How are you doing today?
Hi. All right. And you?
Good. I'm doing good. Trying to stay cool. So very hot, blazing hot today. Okay, so let's pray for you. I know, right? Let's pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Sylvia, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you, Lord, and just bring her before you, God, in the name of Jesus. So I'm seeing you as a sister of honor and like a sister of like medals, like they get in the military, you know, honorary type things and medals that you get in the military. So so that's what I'm seeing before the Lord, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Yeah, honorary and medals. There's some type of, okay. Yeah, I'm seeing some type of like vest. And I don't know if it's a type of, like, I see it as a type of, like, a combination. Okay, it's a, infused between, a armor thing and then a priestly thing. You know how the priests wore the vest and it had the 12 stones of the 12 tribes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But then we're to wear a shield of faith, and even it talks about a shield of light. That we have, so
right.
It's like a combination. It's a kind of like infused as a combination between the two. And it's, okay, you are utilizing your armor of faith, okay, your shield of faith and this priestly garment. You are utilizing these things. You are being honored in the military, in like a military type of thing. Armor. However, as you're being honored, other people are not seeing your shield of faith or this priestly garment. That's not what's being seen. That's not what's being seen before the people, but they are seeing, like it is, you are being honored, but the actions that you're taking because of your faith and because of this priestly garment, bringing you before the people to receive this like military type of honor. And that's all I really see, because you're utilizing those two things, which is bringing you before the people, but the other people aren't seeing, like in the ceremony thing, that you're being honored. They're just seeing the effect of
the
like how you, like how you utilize it and how, the effects and the actions and how you've utilized those things, they're seeing the results of it. They're seeing the results of it. And that's what they're honoring.
Okay.
Yeah. But you're doing, so it is kind of a combination between the natural and the spiritual. So what you're doing in the spiritual will bring you forth,
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Good work.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Because it might even be, now that I, okay, now that I'm more restful and not wrestling over my words, is that it might even be a type of, well, the honorary part of it as well might even be a type of spiritual, and the spiritual side of it, like a spiritual
mm-hmm.
type of promotion.
Yes, yes.
Because what happens
yes.
in the natural, like, yeah, like the effects and the outcome of what happens in the natural is really because of the spiritual and vice versa. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, they're definitely connected to each other. So praise
yes.
God for that.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you for praying for me tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I had a stayed in and prayed all day today. Was feeling a little rough in the sinuses, but they feel better now. So I took that opportunity to just lay all day and just pray and talk to God. And so I'm up now, ready for tomorrow.
Okay, good. Good. Very good. Yeah. Okay. Hey, well, do you want to, do you have any prayer requests? I know you've been praying all day, but do you have any prayer requests?
Yes, I would like for you to just pray for, I think, I'm not sure if I had to pray for one of my brothers before for addiction.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I will pray. So, Father, we
okay.
thank you, Lord, that you're a delivering God, Lord. We pray, Father, for the deliverance of this addiction. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray utmost, Lord, for his heart as well. I know some of my training for a short time was at a place that did addiction, but Lord,
oh, okay.
Yeah, that part that Lord, his heart, Lord, is crying out for help, God, and this addiction is just a way to. He doesn't know how to process it, God. So I pray that he would find you, God. I pray for this deliverance, Lord, that you would extract this deliverance, like the decay and the thing in a tooth, God, that you would just extract that from his life, God, and just pinpoint it circumspectedly with your light and extract it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for healing from this, God, for release from the grips of the enemy, God. We thank you, Father, for Isaiah 53, where you bore our griefs, Lord, and carried our sorrows, Lord, our transgressions and our iniquities, God, and that you deliver our lives from destruction, God, with goodness, Lord, with your goodness and your mercy, Lord, loving kindness, your goodness and your loving kindness with us, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray that on this young man, in the name of the Lord, that the word of the Lord would go forth and bear fruit and purpose that in which you've sent it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, to come into agreement with the other family members, their prayers, Lord, that are praying according to the will and the word of God over his life, Lord, to be delivered as well. God, I pray that he would make ground, Lord, that you would illuminate his heart and his mind, God, to work together in favor, Lord, for his recovery and for his redemption, God. And I thank you, Lord, that Jesus would be his remedy, Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father God, any of those, Lord, with wrong intents, Lord, or wrong motives, Lord, whether it be jealousy or that would try to trip him up or hold him back, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would move those relationships out of the way, God, and free his path. God, free his path and free his step, Lord, to tether his path to a path of righteousness for your namesake, God. lead him not into temptation, but deliver him from evil. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this
evening.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Okay, God bless you.
Have a blessed night.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, thank you everyone for joining us this evening. It was a pleasure to be here, and God bless you. Shalom, and may the peace of God, may grace and peace be with your spirit.